Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to my podcast, where I tell you about Nashville's great baseball history and traditions.
Shot to right, a one-hop liner.
Certainly about its past, especially about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, but also a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
And I introduce you to players, coaches, and other fans and their love for everything baseball.
A high fly ball down the right field corner going way back, hits a leadoff home run.
I think you probably know that I am a member of the Nashville Old Timers Baseball Association, an organization that I love and have been happy to be a part of. My dad and I came on board, were voted in some time ago in the early 2000s, I guess. Each year there's a golf tournament to raise money for scholarships that are given away at our banquet, and our banquet funds go to help baseball programs around the mid-state area where they need a dugout rebuilt or a new scoreboard, that kind of a thing. But we have these great speakers. In fact, I'll tell you now that the 2024 speaker will be Ken Griffey Sr., and that event will take place on Sunday, January the 14th at the Sonesta Nashville Airport Hotel, formerly the Marriott. We've had our event there for a number of years, and we look forward to a great turnout. But one of those great times that I really enjoyed, I had become vice president. Gerald Montgomery was our president. And in 2007, I was the vice president and was proud to be able to sit at the dais with our banquet speaker along with the other officers. In 2007, our old timers banquet speaker was R.A. Dickey. Now, he's an impressionable young man. Still is a young man, I think, and his story is quite good. I hope one day to be able to have him on for an interview, but I had written a story about him in a Sabre publication called Overcoming Adversity. It was about baseball's Tony Conigliaro Award, and if you know the story of Tony Conigliaro, he was hit in the eye with a baseball. It was hard for him to overcome. He was a member of the Boston Red Sox, and each year they honor players for things that they've accomplished, overcoming adversity. And that's R.A. Dickey, too. You may not know, but his story is an interesting one. I think R.A. Dickey's a great, great story in baseball. When he came to our banquet, he had bounced around baseball's minor leagues as a farmhand of the Texas Rangers, appearing with a big league club off and on, and had signed as a free agent with the Milwaukee Brewers only a few weeks before. He was going to spend the entire season with the Nashville Sounds, and he would have a good one. He pitched to a 13-6 record. He was still a few years away from spectacular seasons as a knuckleball pitcher that would take him to the National League's Cy Young Award in 2012. But on this night, he had the attention of a captivated crowd of around 500. For me, it's not about an All-America award or other accolades. It's about my experiences, he told the pack room. Sometimes you're not as bad as you feel, nor are you as good as you might think you are. It is more important to have a purpose, be it in faith or in baseball, but in all things, to have joy in it. I try to glean wisdom from a game and apply it to life. And boy, we could all take part of that, whether in a game or at work or in other opportunities to be around people. You see, his purpose was being a husband, a father, a competitor, and a philanthropist that I'll tell you about in a minute. But it all began when he became a star athlete in high school as a quarterback, a shooting guard, and a pitcher and shortstop on the baseball team. Robert Allen Dickey was born in Nashville on October the 29th, 1974, to Harry Dickey, a construction worker, and his wife, Leslie, a receptionist. And Dickey's athletic talent shined brightly. On June the 30th, 1993, R.A. tossed a seven-inning, perfect game for Nashville's Montgomery Bell Academy, striking out 14 to improve his record to 8-1. It was his third no-hit game of the season. A football and basketball star in his 1993 senior season, he struck out 112 in 60 innings and had a 15-3 record for the AAA state championship, Big Red. The accolades continued to pour in. He was named Tennessean All-Metro not once but twice, All-State, Tennessee Baseball Player of the Year, Most Valuable Player in the AAA Tournament. His success caught the attention of the baseball scouts, and he was drafted by Detroit in the 10th round of the 1993 June amateur draft. But he passed up the Tigers' opportunity to fulfill another dream, to pitch for the University of Tennessee. College meant taking on a weight training regimen, something he had never participated in, he said. He went from 175 pounds to 210 pounds, and his fastball jumped from the 87 to 89 up to the 93 to 94 miles per hour range. He's still not a prototypical strikeout-the-side power pitcher, but he can bring enough heat that it makes breaking pitches and changeups more effective. I once asked Travis Copley, a Vols teammate, you may know Travis from Old Hickory Bat up in Gullitsville, who was a great teammate of R.A.'s, and Travis is a great guy himself. I asked him about R.A., and he called Dickie one of the fiercest competitors he ever knew when he said he had to win at everything, team basketball, conditioning tests, everything. He did more for me in understanding how to compete and really had a fierce, built-in bulldog mentality about winning. Dickie's college career record was 38-10, and he had a 3.40 ERA. The Volunteers, while he was there, won three SEC baseball titles and made an appearance in the College World Series. He was named to Baseball America's 1994 Freshman of the Year, was All-SEC twice, was a three-time All-American, an academic All-SEC, and an academic All-American. He was named to the U.S. National Baseball Team for the 1996 Olympics, where he won a bronze medal. Now, the Texas Rangers made Dickie the 18th player selected in the 1996 amateur draft and were ready to reward his signing with an $810,000 contract. The 6'3", 250-pound right-hander would throw out the first ball at a Rangers home game, and the signing was scheduled to happen before the event. But as fate would have it, the Rangers trainer, Danny Wheat, noticed a peculiar position of Dickie's elbow in a Baseball America cover photo, and Wheat notified Dr. John Conway, the team orthopedist. Well, it was discovered that R.A. had no ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow, and doctors were baffled that he could throw the ball at all. The Rangers backed off their offer, and surgery was imminent, and Dickie decided to go back to college and play baseball his senior year. Well, the day before he was to head back to college, the Rangers replaced their offer, one of $810,000, to one for $75,000 and medical help. Dickie accepted it, but his journey to the majors would be a long one. He was assigned to Port Charlotte to begin his professional career in 1997 and again in 1998. He only won one game each season, but he struck out nearly one batter an inning. And Oklahoma City and Tulsa were his destinations for the next two seasons, and in 2001 received his call-up to the Rangers. When on April the 22nd, 2001, he made his major league debut in the top of the ninth inning at Arlington Stadium, facing Oakland's third baseman, Mark Bellhorn. And a flyout and two pop-ups later, he played in his first game to aid an 11-2 win over the A's. Well, later, with three relief appearances under his belt, on May the 7th, Dickie entered a game against the White Sox with no outs in the top of the first inning. Starting pitcher Darren Oliver had been hit on the thumb by a line drive by leadoff batter Tony Graffanino, and manager Jerry Nairn called on Dickie. He allowed six runs in 4 2/3 innings and collected his first career loss as Chicago won 7-4 over Texas. And R.A. was sent back to Oklahoma City, where he was 11-7 and had a 3.75 ERA for the season, striking out 120 in 163 innings. And he began 2003 with Oklahoma, but was called up after three appearances and won a position on the Rangers pitching staff as a long reliever. And by July, he was in the starting rotation. Now, he had begun to throw an unusual forkball he nicknamed The Thing. And in truth, it was a hard knuckleball. Former knuckleballer Charlie Huff began to work with him to change his grip. And in an interview in 2012, Dickie explained Huff's knuckleball experience. Charlie Huff told me the first day that I met with him, It took me one day to learn how to throw a knuckleball and a lifetime to learn how to throw it for strikes. On August the 20th at Detroit's Comerica Park, Dickey pitched his first career shutout, holding the Tigers to 6 hits on only one walk, and he moved his record to 8-5. And by the end of the 2003 season, RA was 9-8, but his ERA had ballooned to 5.09. In spring training in 2004, he earned a roster spot and made his first start of the new season on April the 9th at home against Anaheim. He held the Angels to 6 hits and 7 innings and won and allowed no earned runs. And on May the 2nd at Arlington Stadium against the Red Sox, he pitched well for 8 2/3 innings before giving way to Francisco Cordero with the bases loaded. The Rangers won 4-1, and Dickey's record improved to 4-1-2. But in August, he was sent to Frisco in the AA Texas League and pitched in 4 games before being recalled and completing the season with the Rangers, where he finished 6-7 with a 5.61 ERA. In May of 2005, after spending time on the 15-day disabled list, Dickey was optioned to Oklahoma once again and was 10-6 before being recalled. In 4 September appearances, he gave up 17 earned runs, winning one and losing one, and his velocity was beginning to slow down. Recalling that to Mike Organ, Tennessean sports writer, before the Old Timers Banquet in 2007, he said, "When Oral Hershiser was a pitching coach in 2003, and you know there was some real hope for me to become maybe a 4th or 5th starter, a really good swingman. I was low 90s, you know, high 80s, low 90s, and could really change speeds well. But in 2004, 2005, the velocity started dropping from the low 90s to max 88, maybe max 86, and I'd run out of gas as a conventional pitcher with the Rangers and was kind of just hanging on, just trying to survive as long as I could before I felt like the inevitable call would come." The 4th game of the 2006 season was Dickey's last appearance in a Texas Rangers uniform. He was sent back to Oklahoma and was let go with a 9-8 record with only 61 strikeouts in 131 2/3 innings. And on January the 10th, 2007, just a few weeks before the Old Timers Banquet, where he was the keynote speaker, he signed with the Milwaukee Brewers and, of all things, was assigned to AAA Nashville. And by then, he had perfected his knuckleball grip, and his reputation as a solid pitcher returned. With a 13-6 record, he lowered his ERA to 3.72 with 6.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. And can you believe it? He was named the Pacific Coast League's Pitcher of the Year. Of course he was. But the frustration was mounting for him. He recalled in an autobiography that he published in 2012, "The Brewers say that they don't have a roster spot for me, but tell me to stay ready in case they need me for the pennant race in September. They are fighting for a divisional title, and I am their top minor league pitcher, and they don't want me. You try not to take it personally, but how can you not?" And surprisingly, he did not receive a call from the Brewers and was let go on October the 29th, but a curious chain of events soon occurred, and positive things were going to happen. With hints of an offer to play for the Samsung Lions in the Korean Baseball League, he signed with the Minnesota Twins for $525,000 in November of 2007. And on December 6, was drafted by the Seattle Mariners from Minnesota in the Rule 5 draft. And on March 29, 2008, he was returned to the Twins by the Mariners and then traded by the Mariners for another player. And Dickey wondered about all the plot twists in his baseball life. "I report to Mariners spring training in Peoria, Arizona, and have one of the best springs of my life. I pitch as both a starter and a reliever. They put me out there in every situation they can. My knuckleball holds up well, and I know it's dancing because the Mariners catcher catches about 3 of every 10 knuckleballs I throw," he said in that 2012 autobiography. But disappointment came back. It followed him as Dickey failed to make the club and was sent to AAA Tacoma. Then he was recalled by the Mariners in mid-April. With Boston due to appear in Seattle at the end of May, He knew Red Sox knuckleballer Tim Wakefield was on the club. Wakefield only passed away a few weeks ago as I am recording this, and here he shows up in R.A. Dickey's story and is a strong influencer of R.A.'s knuckleball. When R.A. said, he's the best knuckleballer in the game and the only full-time one besides me. I get to the park early on Memorial Day afternoon and write a note to Tim asking if we might get together and talk for a bit. Meet me behind the plate in 10 minutes, Tim says. And they talk for 45 minutes discussing grip, spin, even how he keeps his fingernails. And if you were surprised that one pro would give his trade secrets to another pro, well, here's how R.A. described it. Knuckleballers don't keep secrets. Well, Dickey finished the 2008 season with a 5-8 record, and he was non-tendered on December the 9th, and a few weeks later, at the age of 34, was signed by the Twins and invited to spring training. He pitched in 35 games, one as a starter for Minnesota, before being sent to Rochester and ended the season with 5 starts for the Red Wings, but did not receive a September call-up. Instead, he became a free agent once again before the New York Mets came calling. On December 21st, Dickey signed a minor league deal with the Mets. When the season began, he was with the AAA Buffalo Bisons, and on April the 29th, in a home game against the Durham Bulls, he threw a knuckler to leadoff batter Fernando Perez on a 0-2 count, and he recalled he gets under it and pops it weakly over the second base, and it plops in for a single. But I retire the next 27 batters in order, a perfect game with one mulligan. That's quite a feat. 5 weeks into the season, Dickey had a 4-2 record with a much improved 2.23 ERA, striking out 37 batters in 60 2/3 innings and walking only 8. The Mets called him up, and on May 19 in Washington, he started against the Nationals. And R.A. got a no decision, but he was in the major leagues to stay. On August the 13th, he held the Phillies to one hit, and at season's end, he had started 26 games, appeared in relief only once, finished 11-9 with an ERA of 2.84 for the 7th best ERA in the National League. In 2011, Dickey's record fell to 8-13, and his ERA climbed a little bit to 3.28, but he had 134 strikeouts, and in his last start of the season against Philadelphia at Citi Field on September the 24th, Dickey tossed 6 1/3 innings of no-hit ball until Shane Victorino drove a double to left field. And once the season was over, Dickey prepared for a journey of another kind, Mount Kilimanjaro, to benefit Red Light District Outreach Mumbai, which combats human trafficking in India. He included 2 friends, Kevin Slowey from the Minnesota Twins and David Racaniello, bullpen catcher for the New York Mets organization. I always thought it would be a fantastic pilgrimage to hike the summit, Dickey said. Sounds just like him, doesn't it? And though the Mets advised Dickey to reconsider the climb, even telling him they would be risk avoiding his $4.25 million contract for 2012 if he were injured. But undaunted, he and his friends reached the summit on January the 14th. When I saw him at a luncheon event at Lipscomb University a month or so later, I asked him what a knuckleball does at however many feet of altitude he reached. He said, you know, I had a baseball in my backpack, but we were so intent on saving energy because of the oxygen levels, there was no way I was going to throw it. On March 29, 2012, Dickey's first book, Wherever I Wind Up, My Quest for Truth, Authenticity in the Perfect Knuckleball, published by Penguin Press, and it includes a descriptive incident when, as an 8-year-old boy, he was sexually assaulted by his babysitter. That is part of his story, but his story is so baseball-oriented for the truth that he tells about what he's overcome and where he has been. And in terms of his baseball success, the 2012 season certainly was memorable. He led the National League with 223 2/3 innings pitched, 230 strikeouts, 33 starts, 5 complete games, and 3 shutouts. Memorable it was. He had 20 wins against 6 losses, had a 2.73 ERA, and was named to the National League All-Star team. Selected National League Pitcher of the Year by the Sporting News, he also won the Branch Rickey Award in recognition of his community service. He captured the Cy Young Award as the best pitcher in the National League, taking 27 of the 32 first-place votes and finishing with 209 points, well in front of 2011 winner Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers with 96 points. On December the 6th, 2012, Dickey was named to receive the Tony Conigliaro Award. It goes to a player who has overcome adversity through the attributes of spirit, determination, and courage that were trademarks of Tony C. Dickey obtained the recognition for confronting child sexual abuse and prevailing over the lack of the ulnar collateral ligament in his right arm. And as successful as 2012 may have been, the Mets finished in fourth place in the National League East Division again. And on December the 17th, 2012, he was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays. And in his second book, Throwing Strikes, My Quest for Truth and the Perfect Knuckleball, also by Penguin Press, was published on March the 26th of 2013. Now, he won 14 games and lost 13 for Toronto in 2013 and won the American League Gold Glove Award after leading the league in assists by a pitcher with 40. He duplicated his one-loss record in 2014 as his salary increased from $5 million to $12 million. And in 2015, he was 11-11, but his record fell to 10-15 in 2016 as the Blue Jays won the American League East. That team beat the Texas Rangers 3-2 in the division series. Dickey started game four, allowing 5 hits and 1 run in 4 2/3 innings as the Blue Jays beat the Rangers 8-4. In the American League Championship Series, he started game four, but was the losing pitcher in the 14-2 loss to the Royals because he only lasted 1 2/3 innings. But beating the Blue Jays in 6 games, the Royals went on to win the 2015 World Series. In 2016, Toronto earned a wild card slot against Baltimore, winning 5-2, and the Blue Jays swept the American League Division Series from Texas but lost the Championship Series to the Cleveland Indians in 5 games. But Dickey was not on the active roster for the postseason. Tom Dakers, Toronto blogger for SB Nation, explained why. After a crappy April, he was pretty good in the first half. His second half was terrible, and on a team with an embarrassment of riches in the starting pitching department, he was left off the player roster. As he pondered retirement on November the 3rd, 2016, he was granted free agency for the 5th time, and Atlanta wasted little time scooping him up, as on November the 10th, he signed a 2-year contract with the Braves worth $15.5 million. He pitched one final season in 2017 and ended with a 10-10 record for the Braves. Now, I admire R.A. Dickey. His life and his faith walk have been committed to the bulldog mentality his former Tennessee teammate Travis Copley spoke of. You may hit me, you may knock me around and knock balls out of the park, but I am always going to get back up and keep coming at you, Travis said about things R.A. had said. Now, R.A. and his wife, Ann, have 4 children, have resided in the Nashville area, and he was selected to the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame in 2013. Now, I know it's a long story, and I admire R.A. Dickey. I wanted to tell his story as completely as I could. My cap's off to R.A. for his perseverance, for his history in baseball, and his dedication to the cause he loves, along with his family. I was happy to be able to speak with him on a few occasions, and I will never forget that remarkable career and his 2012 Cy Young Award, quite an accomplishment for a determined baseball pitcher.